When the Buddha gave a discourse on what it means to have an auspicious day, he did something very striking. He mentioned death. As he said, an auspicious day is when you don't go chasing after the past, or hankering after the future. And you see what's arising right there in the moment. And then you do your duty with regard to that, because who knows, tomorrow death may come. The mere mention of the word death doesn't make anything inauspicious. In fact, if you're heedful, which is what he's trying to encourage, that is auspicious, because all skillful qualities come from heedfulness. It's not that we're innately good or innately bad. We have good characteristics, bad characteristics in the mind, good habits, bad habits. But we develop the good ones because we realize if we don't, we're in danger. This means our future is auspicious because of things we do, things we decide. It's putting the power in our hands. And that's very typical of the Buddhist teachings. I've been reading recently about how some modern Dharma teachers don't like the idea of karma. They say it's laying blame on people for the sufferings they're meeting with. But the Buddha was never interested in laying blame. He was more interested in analyzing a problem and seeing what you were doing to cause the problem so that you could stop doing that and actually solve the problem. The purpose of his analysis is making you responsible for things so you can be responsible for the solution. If you're not responsible for the cause, you try to throw things off on other people. And nothing gets accomplished, because that's the nature of the world. It's always been that way. People blaming other people for their problems. And the blame gets thrown around, the problems never get solved. But here we are, watching what arises in the present moment, because we can do something about it. That's what the Buddha means when he says you do your duty. And the duties here, of course, are the duties of the Four Noble Truths. Comprehending suffering. When you find the cause, you abandon the cause. And you do that by developing the path, and in developing the path, you get to the most important duty, which is to realize the cessation of suffering. There's a definite program here. These are the Buddha's shoulds, his oughts. And it's not that he made them up and tried to impose them on other people. He found through his own practice that this is what you've got to do if you want to put an end to suffering. And that's really auspicious, the idea of putting an end to suffering, that it is possible. But it requires facing some unpleasant things. One is the suffering itself. You can't run away from it. And two, recognizing the extent to which it's coming out of the mind. This is why the Buddha chose the word origination. It's throughout the canon. It's used primarily to talk about things arising from within the mind. And his analysis, of course, points us right there. The craving that causes suffering is not somebody else's craving. It's your own craving. I've seen someone object to this, saying that actually craving comes from suffering. And then leaves it right there. What purpose does that solve, and what problem does it help to solve? If you give suffering as something you simply have to accept, then there'd be nothing wrong with the craving. You'd have to accept the craving as well. And there'd be no duties. There'd be no need to abandon it. And you'd wonder, well, why talk about this at all? Now, it is true that sometimes when we're suffering, we have cravings, but the Buddha says the impetus starts with a craving in the under the influence of ignorance. So we meditate. So we can bring some knowledge to the process. Why does this happen? How does this happen? And we can trace it back to feeling, contact, the six senses. And the things that lie before our contact with the six senses. Name and form, fabrication, ignorance. All these things are happening inside. The system of analysis may sound kind of abstract. And when things are laid out in a line like this, it sounds impersonal. But the Buddha wants you to develop this impersonal perspective on things that are very personal right now. Because we tend to be very attached to the things that are causing suffering. That's the whole analysis. We're attached to our ideas. We're attached to our perceptions, the way we pay attention to things, the intentions that we have. We're attached to the body. We just take these things for granted. And the Buddha is asking us to get a little distance from these so you can see them clearly. He says it's when you see these things as separate, in other words, your awareness is one thing, these things are something else, then you really see them. You can pull back from them. And at that point, the question is not who's to blame. It's simply, this is how the process happens. And it's the same in everybody's heart. So nobody's to blame, per se. It's more a question of, do you want to keep on suffering? If you don't, you can do something about it by looking inside, and looking inside in the right way. So this is what we're here for. Focusing on the breath. So we can bring some knowledge to the present moment, because the breath is our anchor. And it turns out it's one of the forms of fabrication that, if you do it in ignorance, is going to lead to suffering. So focus right here. That's your entry into all of this. Breathe in a way that feels really good. So you have alternative ways of dealing with the different kinds of fabrication, the different manifestations of what the Buddha calls name and form. You're developing a new relationship inside. That's where the problem is. That's where the solution is as well. So keep watching right here. At first you may not see all that much. It's simply the mind slipping off, either into distracting thoughts or into sleepiness. But you can't let that get you discouraged, because there's no other way out. You've got to learn how to develop a foundation here. This is going to require some ingenuity, so we can get around these ways in which the mind likes to block things off. Because part of it doesn't want to solve the problem. It likes the way it's been doing things. It's okay with the way it's been doing things. But you've got to remind yourself, the deeper part of you realizes, okay, this is not okay. This world we're in, it's a huge mess. There are times when it seems nice and everybody likes the idea of interconnectedness. And then it shows its real side, what they talk about is being inner being, and they celebrate it as inner being. It's really inner eating. I mentioned that in an article one time. The editors of the journal in which the article was printed really objected. They said, this sentence has to go. I said, why? He said, it's confusing. What's confusing about it? It's three words. but went against what they were trying to celebrate. But if you can just go on being okay with the way things are, things will definitely turn out to be not okay, and then you're lost. The very things you were celebrating turn on you, which is why the Buddha said, you want to be heedful. So you can develop the right attitude to what's going on, and particularly what's going on in the mind. There's parts of the mind that just like to block off what's going on inside. And you've got to figure out, how can I build up this strength so I can see these things? Because that's a lot of what complaints about the Dharma are all about. It exposes things that people would rather keep hidden. It points out the drawbacks to things that they would like to depend on. So it's up to us to decide. Whose side are we on? Are we on the side of the people who criticize the Dharma, or are we on the Buddha's side? Do we sympathize with what he did and what it can do for us? It is a matter of allegiance. And so we deal with this fact that the mind is divided against itself. But we try to strengthen the skillful side, the heedful side, the one that realizes that what's really auspicious in life is when you get your act together. And you realize that you don't have that much time, even if you live to 100. It's not a very long time. It's not like you've gathered up all those years. They've passed away and they've taken things away. All you have left is what you've mastered inside. That you can build up, and it doesn't have to wear away with time. Which is why, when you're heedful, you want to do the path. You want to follow the path. Do your duty, as the Buddha said, every day, with every moment. Because that is within your power. And as I said, this is the recurring theme in the Buddha's teachings. Other teachers put power someplace else. They say it's in the stars. The Ajivikas, who taught determinism, were really avid astrologers. But as the Buddha said, they teach powerlessness. Even the Jains, who taught karma, but they taught that everything you experience comes from past karma. As the Buddha said, that teaches powerlessness too. If everything comes from a creator God, again, you're powerless. But with the Four Noble Truths and their duties, the Buddha is putting the power in your hands. So show some appreciation for that fact.